Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Elaine Espinola, filling in for Will Johnson. Today, we're talking about social media strategies as businesses enter the 2019 market. Of course, the landscape of social media is always changing with new platforms, innovative features, and changing trends in consumption habits, all of which give businesses new opportunities to engage with their audiences. Joining us in the studio today is the CEO of Tira Strategies, Lisa Nichols, who assists companies in using social media to create better relationships with current and potential new clients. Lisa's here to share predictions for the social media landscape in 2019 and provide some tips that companies of all sizes can take advantage of as they craft their social media strategies for the year ahead. Lisa, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Elaine. I am so excited to be here and excited to speak with you about social media and what's coming up in the year ahead.
Yes, well, we are excited to have you and excited for that, too. Let's start by sharing a little bit about your background and how Tira Strategies works with businesses.
Sure. I love to tell the story of Tira Strategies because I never had this grand design to be an entrepreneur. It wasn't growing up something I wanted to be. And I just happened to fall into having my own company. And briefly, the way it happened was I was working at a local newspaper and doing ad sales, and we were doing some social media campaigns on behalf of clients back in 2008 to 2010. And the paper, like many of them do, couldn't keep its doors open anymore. So when I was looking around for other jobs, I was talking to my boss and nothing really measured up. And I just looked at her one day and said, wow, we do social media on behalf of our clients and none of them know how to do it. And I can do it. So why don't I open up a company and help clients use social media better? And she thought it was a great idea. And back in 2010, Tira Strategies was born. And that's what I did. I helped businesses use social media to get in front of their potential clients and to be more visible and to promote their products and services.
Great. Well, how are those businesses currently using social media? And then how do you expect them to use social media differently next year?
Lots of businesses don't really know how to use social media to minimize their time, but maximize their reach to potential clients.
That is a great point.
Yeah, yes. They don't. And so I hear a lot from clients about how they just don't have time to be in social media and they don't know what to post and they don't know how to do it. So I think that businesses have a harder time unless they have someone dedicated to it to stay on the trends. And that's what I like to do for them. I do recommend when businesses start out to pick two platforms and to get good at those two and then move from there. And so that's kind of our starting point. And you need to decide where your potential clients are, whether they're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, or Pinterest, and then use the platforms that your clients are at and do it that way. So I think right now businesses aren't using enough video, and I'd love to see them do more of that next year. I was reading something that said any content that moves just tends to draw your eye when you're scrolling. So I'd love to see people using video more. I'd love to see them getting better at maximizing their social media potential by spending less time just scrolling as a business and getting the word out there about what they do. I'd like to see them develop better content that engages people more. So I think that businesses can do a better job of using social media. I think for small to medium businesses, it's really hard to have that dedicated person and get that time together. So I'd like to see a lot of things change. I will try and help as much as I can, but I can't help everybody. And, one of the big things, too, is that a lot of businesses that are B2B say that they have a hard time using social media to get in front of their audience. And I think that it's just that they're not really understanding how best to do that. And part of that is choosing the platforms you're on. Are you going to be on LinkedIn? Instagram isn't really B2B, although you can make it work for a B2B company. Are you putting the right type of content on Facebook? So I think that businesses need to do better at using social media and they need to really figure out their strategy rather than just getting out there and posting everything everywhere and hoping it works.
Sure. So maybe stronger strategies for businesses would be great for the year ahead, and video, as you mentioned. You also mentioned trends. What's big on the horizon for Instagram, for example, specifically with those businesses that don't have visual images?
Well, Instagram is really the cool hip platform that everybody's flocking to these days. And I think that all businesses can make a go of Instagram and make it work for them, even if they're not visual. They just have to work a little bit harder at finding the content that works for them. So even B2B businesses can do well on Instagram. I see a lot of coaches on there. And what you need to do is be more mindful about taking pictures and putting them up. So whether you're at a networking event or it's a behind the scenes look at your company, or using graphics to create quotes that relate to your business, you need to work a little bit harder as a B2B type business to get that content on Instagram, but you definitely can make it work. And so I think that with Instagram, businesses should really look at giving it a shot, because so many people are flocking to it that chances are your clients are going to be on there. But Instagram Stories has been big over the past, I think, couple of years, and IGTV is fairly new. And Instagram Stories, the funny thing about that is that not everyone's using it as much as the main Instagram feed. So the space still isn't as cluttered as your main Instagram feed. And I still think that there's a place for businesses and brands to stand out. You can be clever with what you do on Instagram Stories, and you can tell a really cool story on it. The neat thing about Instagram Stories is that your content is up for 24 hours unless you save it to your main feed, and then it goes away, and you can put stickers and location, and you can tag, and you can use hashtags on it. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a little bit more creative. An example, I was recently over in Napa Valley, and I used Instagram Stories to show people my trip. And I was actually promoting an Instagram workshop that I'm having. So it all tied in together. And I thought that was a really creative way of doing it. And then IGTV is designed to basically compete with YouTube. And so that's where you can post longer videos that, that can tell more about your business or be more instructional. So I think that companies and businesses, no matter what industry they're in, can use Instagram Stories and IGTV to get themselves noticed. And one of the things I love to do is tell people, find a business you like that's in your industry and see if they're doing it and watch how they're doing it and take notes and lessons from that.
Yeah, that's a really great point. You talked earlier about you're hoping to see in the next year companies being able to kind of stop scrolling through. And of course, something every business strives to do on social media is make people stop scrolling to actually look at their content, right? Because we all sit there with our thumb just kind of scrolling. And then, you know, the hope is that you're putting something on there that's going to attract attention, and you might stop at that business's post to really check it out. What are the trends showing on best ways to accomplish this?
Well, like I said earlier, anything that moves tends to grab people's attention. So whether it's live video, Facebook Live, video, GIFs, GIF, and that is that actually stands for graphic interchange format. For anyone who really wanted to know, I had to go look that up. So now you know what GIF stands for.
In case you're wondering.
That is my PSA for the day. Now we all know what GIF stands for. But anything that moves tends to stop the scroll. But I also think that even content that doesn't move can also attract people as long as you know your audience and connect with them. So, of course, going live is fantastic. And I believe that Facebook mostly weighs that better than everything else. Right now, LinkedIn even allows video on, so you can use video to stop people and to stop the scroll in LinkedIn. Twitter allows you to use short videos, and so does Instagram. The funny thing about Instagram is that video doesn't perform as well as, just photos, which I find interesting. But video is a big thing. Live is big. I like to ask questions and ask people to respond in a GIF or in a meme. And for some reason, that really tends to get people to interact. So if you ask a fun question about how their day's going or what they're up to for the weekend and ask them to respond in a GIF, people just love spending this few seconds to look through GIFs and see what's out there and post it. So that's a big one. Your content needs to be engaging and interesting. Your topics need to be relevant, and your audience needs to find them interesting. And you need to provide value to them. So a lot of it factors into knowing your audience. One of the best examples I can give of this is usually visual images perform best for most businesses. And links to articles that are outside of Facebook don't perform as well. But I have one client who's a breast cancer charity or nonprofit. And we post a lot of motivational quotes, a lot of pictures, and a lot of things that are designed to get people, you know, to get emotional, to bring out emotions, which is what you're trying to do. But whenever I post articles about advances in cancer or breast cancer, those perform the best out of everything. And that's really bucking the trend. So a lot of it has to do with knowing your audience, looking at your insights, and going with the information and type of content that they like. That ultimately is what's going to stop their scroll. People do love photos. So if you ask them a question and ask them to share a photo, that tends to stop their scrolling more than if you just stick a photo up there. Tagging local businesses is another great way to get more interaction, because then you're getting the business to interact with you, and then other people who follow that business are interacting. And so I think anything that can really engage your audience, and you need to experiment, figure out what it is, and then start using those type of content and those type of posts, no matter which platform you're on.
Yeah, thank you. That was a really detailed answer. And something that really struck to me was knowing your audience and then looking at your insights, because that could always change over time as well. And if you're just sticking with, you know, who you thought your audience is, or who you think it is, or who you think is attracted to your business and the way you're putting things out there, and it could change year to year, right? So it's, you really want to track that, those insights, and see what's performing well to keep doing that and also keep changing.
You do, and all the platforms have insights. Instagram does, as long as you have a business account, which is a big, big reason to switch to a business account from a personal if you're not on Instagram. But they all have insights, and some are better than others, but they all give you information on what's going on and what your content is doing. And so I always encourage people to look at their insights on a weekly basis if they can, and just to see what's happening.
Good to know. Let's switch a little bit and talk about Facebook groups and communities. It has been recently reported that Facebook groups will soon be able to charge membership fees for people to then gain access to their content and their community. How are businesses using groups on social media, and how do you suspect this will evolve in 2019?
So Facebook this summer, I believe, did some testing in terms of allowing people to charge for groups. And so I saw a little bit of that, and then there hasn't been much of it lately. So I think that they're still in the testing phases. For those of us with groups, it makes sense that they're going to do this to somehow monetize the group. Some people kind of wind their way around it by charging people to be in a Facebook community, and then the group is a part of that. So they're making that happen, but in a very indirect way. So we'll see what happens, but I wouldn't be surprised if people were allowed to start charging membership fees for groups. Groups are incredibly valuable. Having your own group gives you access to a very engaged community that is really interested in you and the services you offer. And it's a lot more interactive than your business page, and it's a lot more fun. I have my own group, and I adore it. We have a lot of fun in the group. Everybody's very engaging and interactive. They're always commenting on my posts. And so I spend a lot of time there because for me, it's rewarding. But they're also the people that are most likely to buy when I have, you know, a webinar or a workshop or anything like that. And so with your group, as long as you do it the right way and build your community about something, not just buy my stuff, then I think you can really get in front of an audience that's very invested in you and what you're selling and what you're offering. So if businesses don't have groups, they can develop a presence in a group, somebody else's group, you know, as long as they fall within those guidelines. But I just see groups growing and growing. They've been skyrocketing lately. And I just think that trend continues. And, you know, even my group that I started 2 years ago, we're about 700-ish members. So it's fairly easy to grow a group if you're consistent with what you do. I mean, mine's not huge, but they're a lot of fun and they're very engaged, and that makes a big difference.
Sure.
So with your group, you're giving value. You have to give value to the community that you've, you know, created with this group. And I think that's the big piece of it. You can't just, again, put up a group and do it for the purpose of selling, but you have to have this group and you need to give them value and give them a reason to keep coming back.
Got it. Well, hard to believe, but we're almost here at the end. And I just had a couple quick more questions for you. If you could quickly share what businesses are currently doing on LinkedIn, and then we'll kind of move to your top social media tips as we wrap up here.
Sure. So with LinkedIn, a lot of businesses are using it more than they used to. They are, one of the big features is to write articles on LinkedIn. And so it's essentially an organic blog that you're putting on LinkedIn. So I see a lot of businesses doing that. A lot of businesses are also using hashtags on LinkedIn. They're allowing it. And you can use them in your profile and in your comments and in your articles to get your audience to, so that they're searchable. So those are some big trends on LinkedIn. And I just see more and more people using them a little bit more informally. With video on LinkedIn, people can now do video. And it's a mix between being very professional videos and just kind of being fun, silly videos that you see on Facebook. So I think we're going to see more video on LinkedIn, both professional and non-professional.
Okay, thank you for that. And as we wrap up, Lisa, can you share your top social media tips for businesses as we move into the new year?
Sure. I think going live is a big one. I would check out Instagram if you're not on it. I think most businesses can make a good go of it. Keep track of your insights. Use your hashtags across the platforms. We haven't talked about it so much on Twitter and Instagram, but hashtags are crucial to being discoverable on Twitter and Instagram. So I would use them there. Most of all, be genuine and authentic. Let customers see the real you in your social postings. Let them see behind the scenes and let them see what's happening with your life. And even if you're a mid-sized business, you can do this by allowing people kind of behind the scenes looks at what's going on in your business or highlighting your employees.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you. These are great tips. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, Lisa. This has been really helpful, really insightful. Where can our listeners learn more about the services offered by Tira Strategies?
Thank you for asking. So I spend a lot of time in my group. It's called the Social Visibility Society. If you search for it on Facebook, you can find it there. I also have a Facebook page, Tira Strategies. It's T-I-R-A Strategies. And then a website, www.tirastrategies.com. But really, my group is the place I spend most of my time.
Okay. Well, thank you again so much for being here and sharing these insights.
Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. For the Better Business Bureau, I'm Elaine Espinola, filling in on the Better Business, Better Series podcast. Thank you to our guest, Lisa Nichols, president of Tira Strategies. We hope you enjoyed this episode today. And if so, please subscribe to the Bistro and the Better Business, Better Series podcast on iTunes to hear more great business and consumer conversations.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.